Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora and welcome back to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrig from the New Zealand Spirit Guide and you've joined me for the grand finale of our Island Distillery series. We started this journey in the deep southern edge of Aotearoa, Rakiura, Stewart Island. And today we're wrapping things up at what might be the most isolated distillery in the country. I'm talking about Island Gin, based way out on Altair Great Barrier Island, a rugged off-grid paradise about 100 kilometres northeast of Auckland. It's the kind of place where the stars burn bright, the manuka grows wild, and the gin is made with sunshine and soul. Joining me today is the brilliant force behind it, Andy from Island Gin. Welcome, Andy.
Hello, Susie. Thanks for having us. We're very excited to be on your Island series.
Thank you. Right, so let's start at the beginning. What was it like before Island Gin? What were you doing before you got into distilling and that became part of your picture?
So I'm an ex-art director. So right. we used to live in Singapore for a little while, actually, and then we moved to New Zealand. So we've been in New Zealand since early 2000, and I was bringing up young kids. And I went in and out of advertising a little bit, but since that time, we've had our place on Great Barrier Island. So we've had our batch there for over 20 years, 22 years and counting now. Right. So we were living in Auckland, and I mean, the actual story is that a good friend of mine was passing away with breast cancer, and so I was sort of running around, you know, in this kind of state, and I found this place on Great Barrier Island, and it was it's a bolt hole. It was completely off grid. We've been in a frenetic industry for a long time and we were sick of it. And so essentially we wanted to change our life, you know, really upend it and do something completely different, which I highly recommend to anybody. It worked really well for us. And so we bought this little tiny place on Barrier. It was very old and in need of a lot of repair. And that became our kind of little sanctuary, actually. And so for a long time, I've sort of thought, I love the Barrier. It's really amazing. Could we do some sort of business there on the island? And so I started looking at gin because I love gin. And I love the island and off grid. And I thought, how hard can it be? And as it turns out, very hard. Very hard.
So was it just from your love of gin and the barrier that you went, let's start a distillery?
Yes.
I mean, that was basically it. And how did you teach yourself about distilling? Like, where did that all come from?
Very difficultly. It's quite hard to get your hand at that stage early on. It was quite hard to get across it. So I joined the Australian Women Distillers Association because I'm originally from Melbourne. I did courses there. I went and spoke to Jill from Alembics on Waiheke Island. She was the very, very first person I saw with a little tiny 2-litre Alembic copper pot still. Yeah. And then from there I went into Tasmania and Christy Booth Lark, who is Bill Lark's daughter, who's the godfather of whiskey in Australia, she's a distiller. She was very kind to me and she opened up her distillery. She just had a 10-month-old baby. She just moved back from Queensland. She had this distillery and she's like, sure, come in. So I'm holding the baby and I'm looking at how she's distilling and doing whiskey and gin and things like that. She was very generous with her time and I still see her today. And then I went down to McHenry in Tasmania and across to Adelaide and as many people as I could to get my hands on, read lots of books, but understood the basic of distilling from people that were already doing it, and it's sort of hands-on. And then it just keeps evolving and evolving. I think we're all still learning about all the different ways you can produce gin and different botanicals. This is kind of not a, there's a standard to it, but there's also, you can do so many other creative things.
Absolutely. So let's talk about sort of the day-to-day life on the island. What are some of the joys and challenges of running off an off-the-grid distillery on an island like this?
Well, one of the joys, I mean, it's a privilege really to be on Barrier. There's 1,000 people. So if the tide is low and we're lucky enough to have it in the morning, because obviously it's changing every day, we go for a walk on the beach first, if we can. And that's just an amazing way to start today. So that's a joy. It's a joy to be on that island with all its, all the weather, the way the weather changes, the weather systems change. The challenge, and also the joy, is the community. They're very supportive. The Rocks Bottle Store was the very first person that ever took my gin, and they've been incredible from the start. The challenges are many, and it is predominantly the weather. You know, the boat, when we get our bottles are made in Auckland. So when we get our bottles across, they've got to come across on SeaLink. If the weather's bad, it doesn't come. And the same with getting stuff off the island. So when that weather packs up, the boat doesn't come twice a week, and it can be once a week or sometimes none. And also Barrier Air, we fly off some of our more bespoke stuff by air. Same thing, you know, if the weather packs in, you know, I can wake up and go, oh my God, it's just like white, super, it's like a white out. And you go, they're not going to sail, I'm not going to fly today. So we kind of learnt to live 6 months ahead, to be honest, you know, to plan and to project. And that's just absolutely how you have to live like that. So that's the challenge. There's absolutely no electricity, obviously, because we're nearly 5 hours by barge from Auckland.
Right.
So that's a challenge and a joy. It's a double one because we've got solar. We've had solar for a full 2 years now, fully solar. Obviously, if it's winter and it's a little bit, the weather's crazy, we've got a backup generator. But that is one of the great joys, having solar. So weather, solar, plenty of water, and the community, that would be the things that...
Right, okay, so let's talk about the gin itself. What defines the flavour and character of island gin, and how does living and distilling on the Barrier influence that?
Look, I think when I decided to do the gin, I thought it has to have a component from the island. Mm-hmm. I was always wanting to create a London dry style gin, and we had that recipe, you know, from a little 2 litre Olympic copper pop still we'd worked on for a couple of years, but I thought something was missing. And so basically the island kind of revealed itself with what we needed to do. Not many people were using honey at that stage. There's not a lot now, but there are a few more. So honey I get from a really great apiarist down the road, Jacques, and he, you know, I tried the honey in the original recipe, and that was just like the final touch, the missing ingredient. It's got a really luscious, viscous mouthfeel, like a little tiny hint of sweetness, but it is still a London dry. And so that's, the island has really shaped the gin in that way. Like without the honey, it wouldn't be as tied to the terroir of island gin. So, I mean, it changes slightly every year as well. Obviously, the bees, I mean, it's a Manuka bush honey, you can't tell bees where to go. Although they kind of, you know, they fly around in pretty similar areas. They're very well looked after by their apiarist. So that's what I would say about why our honey is the way, our gin is the way it is.
Right, okay, little island influence. Now, you've done some delicious limited releases, Damson Plum, and your current one is Fijoagen, but one of your limited releases really caught my eye. It was a tribute gin inspired by a close friend with a flavour that sounded as warm as the sentiment. Can you tell us about that and the whole story behind it?
Yes. So Yael, who owns Ema Cuisine in Fort Street, I've known her for 25 years. And in fact, she was the one who was on the plane with me when we first went over to Great Barrier to check that little batch out. She was the first person that saw it with me in August, middle of winter, but it was a sunny day. So she has known me for a very long time, and she was seminal in the idea about the island. She has got this, she makes everything from scratch. And one of her great things is her hot cross buns that she does every Easter. She makes a lot, like thousands. And so we've been having this conversation for a long time about why don't we do this little kind of project together. So, you know, she used to send us hot cross buns across on the plane, and that was really great. And we're like, how can we sort of bottle this? And we're like, all the spices that she uses in it are very specific to her buns. And so we're like, why don't we just try and do some kind of limited edition spicy, not spicy, but spiced, gin for winter, which is like a sipper. So she sent me over like tons of fruit and all the, you know, very specific vanilla and all these types of things. And that's what I made it from. It is very difficult to make because you've got it's very high touch because I put all of the spices into the spirit before I distill.
Right.
Then I distill it. Then I reuse a new lot of spices in water. Then I cut it with the water the spices have been in. It's very high touch. So I think we made 100 bottles and they sold out. And it's just a really nice thing to collaborate. We like collaborating. And it's just we started doing them a bit more with artisans in different fields. And it was a lovely thing to be able to spend that time with a really good friend who does, he's very good at what she does, and just be able to try and translate it into a completely different thing that we haven't done before.
Nice. It was nice to see the connection of the friendship, I guess, that came out in the bottle. Right, so let's talk about the bottle. Now, this is something else. It's a stunning canna shell shape, and you used the recycled glass and made in Auckland. It is beautifully distinctive. What inspired that design, and why is it so important to you?
Well, when we first started doing the business, I thought if I can't get a bottle made in Auckland, I don't want to get something made overseas with all the air miles. I don't want the money going out of the country. I was very specific on that because I think when you start a business and a brand, you have to go all the way, go deep into it. So I had a good friend who I did graphic design with back in the day, a long time ago, and she came out with me to the island. And we were trying to work out what the design should be. And we found some kinnas on the beach and we're like, well, it's a very beautiful shape, but it's not obviously, not doesn't really translate to a bottle. So we thought, we knew there was something in that, but we had to just work out how the design could be, added into a bottle shape so that worked quite well. So I actually got one here because I want to show you how we recycle. So that's the bottle. So with the kinna shape, but we've got a flower in there. But it was really from the island, from finding a kinna on the beach, and then we worked out the design, and then we went to it was called OI Glass at that stage in Auckland. They're the only glass manufacturer in the country, and we had it took us 3 years for them to actually agree to it. I kept ringing saying, come on, you know, we really want to get it done. And they said, we'll do it in another plant off New Zealand. And I'm like, look, if I have to do that, I will. But they came back to me and said, look, we've got a bit of downtime in the plant, which runs between the clear glass and the brown glass, which is the wine bottles and the beer bottles. We'll put it in that slump, which is like not really used at the moment in that glass facility. And they put it in, they did a test and that green came out. So it was purely serendipity that green came out. So that's the transition of colour from clear to flint to brown. So I don't know, does that answer your question?
For our listeners at home, I mean it's got the dimples of the kinna all round the bottle and sort of stretched down obviously to make that bottle shape. So it is absolutely stunning. Now let's talk about awards. You've picked up some pretty shiny accolades over the years. Golds, double golds, best London dry in New Zealand. Out of all the awards for your gin, is there one you're most proud of?
Yes, and it would have to be the inaugural 2020 New Zealand Spirits Awards for Innovation.
Right.
We started, we're all part of the founding members in 2018 of the DSA, Distilled Spirits Aotearoa, and we won it that year in 2020 for the innovation of the bottle, really. And I think that was great. It was a fledgling, you know, the business was fledgling at that stage and the industry was just emerging. And I think so that for me, because it's important to have something in New Zealand that really resonates. So that to me is probably the best accolade that meant the most to me. And beyond that, we really have gone offshore to San Francisco Spirits Awards and the IWSC in London, purely just for our own, just to benchmark ourselves really against the rest of the world, because we wanted to see how our gin stood up around the rest of the rest of the world. So we were pretty happy to get some nice gongs, you know, in those categories overseas for a few years in a row. And that was just something we needed to do for ourselves, just to kind of prove that what New Zealand is doing an incredible job on the world stage amongst lots of other gins in this country. And we're very proud that we're all able to represent the country, you know, in the middle of nowhere off grid, which is pretty difficult. And it's like, thank you. We're really happy. We're really grateful.
Absolutely. And when you think back to 2020, when you won the Innovation Award, you know, there wasn't the distilleries that there are now. And you were probably one of the first to put it in a nice, beautiful bottle rather than the stock standard purchase off the shelf.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we were the first to do that in New Zealand. We were the first to get it made in New Zealand. It's now 70% recycled glass. Started off at 50, it's now 70. So it's a circular glass that comes back through everywhere in Auckland, everywhere in New Zealand and goes through to that particular factory. There's only one other bottle in New Zealand that's made in New Zealand. That's it. Everybody else is offshore.
Wow.
So, I do pass on the information to distillers when they ask me where I get it made. And I wish that, you know, more people in New Zealand were able to get it made here, because I think it'd be a great, it'd be fantastic for the economy and also for distillers that, you know, that could actually go and get their own bottles produced there. So maybe we should all sort of knock on the door a bit louder.
Absolutely. Right, now let's talk about sustainability. You've mentioned your whole operation now runs on solar power, from the distilling to the bottle, and to the bottling, sorry. So why was that important to go fully off the grid and sustainable, and how hard was it to pull it off?
Well, we sort of had to do it by default, really, because we were on the island, so there was no option. You know what I mean? Like, because we had our batch there and we wanted to make our gin there, we have to go off grid. You know, there's no electricity, there's no power, so we did solar. Apart from that, I mean, I would highly recommend anyone, you know, if you can, it can be done. So sustainability, we all know where the world's heading. You know, even given the weather systems that have happened, you know, over the weekend, in a way we're not affected on the island because we've all got solar. The solar will continue, you know, it's not, unless they get ripped off the roof, you know, it's a really, you know, it's sort of nothing to see in a way, because it keeps going in the water system. So the sustainability, we're trying to do it through every part of the business, but we were originally running on a generator, and that was from, instead of buying a new one, that was from the old Stonewall store down the road. So we pulled this old 40 kilowatt, look like a Mack truck thing. I didn't want to buy anything new. It's on the island already. The boys were in the back of a truck. We drove it down. So I'd been running on that for quite a while. And that's in a way sustainable as well, because I didn't want to buy a new object like that, because we just needed a few gaskets, I don't know, whatever they needed to fix with it. So that was part of our sustainability. And then when it stopped working one day in the middle of a run, the engineer came down and said, well, we knew this day was coming. Now you have to get to solar. So so the sustainability was just a necessity on the island, really.
Right.
But I think that is, and there are a lot of people, a lot of distillers in the country now moving to a very sustainable footprint, which we all need to do. And if you can do it, I feel much better that we can produce something, you know, like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what's next for Island Gin? Any new favours or collabs or plans brewing that you can tell us about?
Well, we do. Have you seen Gourmet Traveller? I thought you might be asking me that question because you've seen this month's Gourmet Traveller.
Oh, no, I haven't.
So, it's under embargo. at the moment, but I'll tell you because it's probably going to come out next week. So I'd rather tell you now. So we've just been asked to do an international collaboration with Four Pillars out of Melbourne. So they do international collaborations with, they've done it with Hörno in Sweden, with Warners in the UK, Santa Maria. So they've asked us, so we've done that. So we've just completed our collaboration with them. I've got the book. I'll show you the book. I brought it because I thought.
Oh, how exciting. So it's just a nice neat tag around the top that says the collaboration.
Yeah, that's our version of theirs and they've done a version of ours. So the head distiller came over to the island and she, it's a female, which is great. It's the first female international collaboration that's happened with them. Nice. She's the head distiller. She came over. She's taken some Manuka Bush honey back to Melbourne and they've created a gin based on that. And I've used oranges, which are in their rare dry gin, to complement ours. So it's launching next week. So I feel like I should tell you because I thought you might have seen, that's why you asked. But it is a little snippet in Gourmet Traveller with Sarah, who's the head distiller, and she mentioned it. So I'm like, well, it's out there. So
wow, congratulations. I mean that gives me shivers that the most isolated distillery in the country is paired up with probably one of Australia's best known distilleries, Four Pillars. So yeah. That's exceptionally exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. Right, Andy, so it's the end of the working week. What is your go-to drink of yours and where on the island do you enjoy to enjoy it?
Has to be a martini. It's a martini all the way, every time. So it's a martini. Very dry. There's a bit of, you know, local lemon from down the road at the community garden. Nice. On the beach when it's not blowing a gale. I'll just walk down the beach because we're very close to the beach. The distillery's not, but where we live is.
Right.
So we can just go down there or, you know, my husband loves a Negroni, so that's the second best thing. But a martini, yeah. Sometimes at the distillery, if we've had a really big day late at night, we're still burning the midnight solar, you know, we're just like, you know, it's been a big week. What's your favourite drink?
Oh, I would definitely probably be a gin and tonic, or I'm quite partial to a Negroni. That would probably, or I'm also this time of year quite partial to a dark and stormy. So get a bit of that rum and lime and just beer going. But definitely as the weather warms and the summer's here, then definitely a gin and tonic. So
fantastic.
On the beach definitely would be a nice end to the day.
We'll have to send you a bottle of the Four Pillars because we recommend that with a Mediterranean gin and tonic. So,
right. Oh, that's great. Yes.
Yeah.
Stunning. Well, Andy, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's certainly no small feat creating a world-class gin out on one of New Zealand's most remote islands. And you've done it sustainably with heart, vision and serious flavours. So thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, thanks, Susie. Thanks so much for including us in your series. And it's you're doing a great job of getting the New Zealand, word out there, which is fantastic for local, which is really, we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Now, for our listeners, if you would like to find out more about Island Gin, their story, their gins and their island roots, or to add one of their stunning Kinna-inspired bottles to your gin cabinet, head to newzealandspiritguide.com for more details. That's it for me, Susie Carrig from the New Zealand Spirit Guide, and that wraps up our island series. From the wild southern spirit of Rakiura to the vibrant shores of Waiheke, and now here on Altair Great Barrier Island. It's been a journey of island hopping, full of flavour, character and unforgettable stories. So until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more Behind the Bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.